Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone. This is your host, Veronica Monet. It's really too bad this is radio right now because I'm watching a really hot video on YouTube. It's called Shake Your Soul Song with Sacred Erotic Dance. And my guest is the star. My guest tonight is Davy Ward, and she has developed something called Sacred Erotic Dance. I'm not going to try to give you the URL here, but if you want to look at it, you go over to her website. It's www.feminineemergence.ca. So feminineemergence.ca. If you go over to the section on personal coaching, the hot, sexy video is right there on the, it's kind of in the middle on the right-hand side of the page. Shake Your Soul Song with Sacred Erotic Dance. You need to check it out. If you happen to be my friend on Facebook, hey, I'm really sorry about that. Apparently, this material is so hot that we knocked our phone lines out. But as I was saying, I'm over here at feminineemergence.ca, feminineemergence.ca. My guest tonight is Davy Ward, and she teaches something called Sacred Erotic Dance. And I want you to check out her video if you get a chance. It's called Shake Your Soul Song with Sacred Erotic Dance. It's over on YouTube, but it's also over here on her website, feminineemergence.ca. Tell you a little bit about Davy Ward. We're still trying to get her on the line, but I'll talk a little bit about her before she comes up. She's co-founder of Authentic Tantra and also the founder of Feminine Emergence. She's the creator of Sacred Erotic Dance, which is a movement healing modality that uses the five core pelvic movements. Now, I can't wait to find out what those five core pelvic movements are. It also uses Authentic Tantra. Davy, are you there?
I am. I apologize. My phone just completely went dead for some reason, so I'm back.
Well, it's okay. I told our listeners that apparently this topic was too hot, and we just kind of knocked the phone lines right out.
Yes, I apparently did.
So, I really was enjoying your video, by the way. Really, really hot stuff. I have to say, is your background in erotic dancing?
Yes, actually. I was a stripper from the time I was 18 to the time I was 21 or 22 in the ghetto of Detroit. And
wow,
that is actually where the five core pelvic movements come from. Later on in my life, I just kind of broke down everything that I was doing on stage and everything that I was seeing the other African-American women doing on stage, which is pretty amazing. If you haven't seen stripping in the ghetto in Detroit, you haven't ever seen stripping. It's amazing what those women can do with their bodies.
No,
and so I just
kidding.
Broke it down into a comprehensive system and then began to teach.
Wow. Well, I have to say, now I've actually been to quite a few strip clubs over the years, so it takes quite a bit to catch my eye, and you certainly succeeded. Your movements are very erotic, but they also do seem to embody an overlay which feels sacred, it feels empowered, it feels, a little kind of harks back to the divine feminine for me. So, and I'm wondering, mm-hmm. I know that you also have developed something called Authentic Tantra, and how do you combine that with the five core pelvic movements?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I'll back up a little bit. I went from a stripper in Detroit to being a monk of the Ashaya order. So I ended up dedicating my life. I wasn't a celibate monk. I was just a dedicated spiritual practitioner, and we took vows, and we became monks. And
well,
so
that itself is very tantric, isn't it?
It is kind of a contrast. I forget what a large contrast it is until I actually tell people what my history is, and then they're pretty amazed.
Yeah, so, I know, tantra is usually about embracing those extremes, so that's a very tantric path.
Yeah, exactly. So tantra for me was literally the fusion of my history as an erotic dancer and an erotic performer, and my devotion and my dedication to cultivating spiritual awareness and cultivating spiritual growth. And so the other aspect of sacred erotic dance for me is, even though I was stripping at the time, I've been a dancer from the time that I could walk on 2 feet, and dance has always been a very sacred expression of my soul. And I personally think there's nothing more beautiful in the world than seeing a woman express her sensuality through movement and dance. And so I think that is what comes through with what I teach and in through my movement that you see. It's the tantra, absolutely. The tantra training has taken the dance to a whole new level of expression and freedom and joy and sensual embodiment. And, as I said, as a dancer, dance itself is a sacred expression of my inner soul. And so I think, you know, just for me, is I just let it shine all the way out from the inside out. And I try to support women in doing that through my coaching and my classes. I support women in connecting with that spark of sensual joy and sensual passion, and then fearlessly exposing it, fearlessly revealing it to all of us, and fearlessly revealing it to the world, so that we can walk around fully embodying our sensual wholeness.
And it's beautiful, and you're obviously very embodied yourself and very sensual yourself, but the women who come to you, I'm going to assume that not all of them feel really good about their body image and may not feel really connected to their body. How can any woman with any body type come to your classes?
Absolutely, and I think that's the beauty of sacred dance, is that we start exactly where you are. So for me, some of the most beautiful success stories that I've had, I've been working with women that feel like completely awkward in their bodies. They do not feel feminine whatsoever. They don't know how to dance. I mean, to me, those are my most precious favorite students, because the evolution in such a short period of time, simply by connecting to the pleasure of the movement, that's the key. The key is allowing ourselves to feel pleasure in movement. And I think it's very, you know, it's very primal. We're wired as human beings to dance and to move and to express ourselves through movement and dance. We've been doing it, you know, from the Ice Ages. And we just kind of forget that in our culture. We're steered away from that sort of self-expression, full self-expression in our culture. And so in my classes, it's we play. We play together like we're children, and it's a process of self-discovery and self-exploration. And so usually women, when they walk in the door for the first class, they're radically, radically transformed from the last class they take with me. I generally run my classes in 8-week sessions. So there is a noticeable, tangible, discernible difference from week 1 to week 8. And that's what's so remarkable to me, is how quick the process actually is when we connect with our joy. And sensual expression is inherent within us as women. It's just, you know, I'm just reminding you. I'm just giving you a forum to remember something that's already inherent within you.
That's really beautiful. How do you bring the sacred aspect of this into it? I mean, is it kind of something about goddess worship, or what are you drawing from? Or what is there a particular, I don't know, belief system that goes with this?
Well, sort of, to a degree. I mean, I practice Tibetan, tantric Tibetan Buddhism, And authentic Tantra, the style of Tantra that we teach, has been recognized by our Lama, Lama Tashi Dandrup, as a valid path of using sexuality for spiritual realization. So some of the instruction that I share in the class does have lineage empowerment. I have specific instructions from Lama Tashi that he gave me to give to women to help them awaken and heal and connect, reconnect with their sexuality. So there is a bit of my instruction in that filtered in that comes through, some visualization, some breathing exercises, that sort of thing. But the sacred aspect for me is there's nothing in this world that is not sacred. I mean, we are sacred. That's what we are. We can't escape it. There's no separation from it. It's just one pure divine consciousness that infuses all of life. And so the sacred aspect, I think, is just honoring that and allowing that our sensuality and our sexuality is inherently sacred in and of itself. It's part of the human design. And the human design, the human blueprint, is divine. It is sacred. And so there's no particular external focus. It's more connecting with, again, that which already exists within us.
Well, and speaking of connecting with self, you also teach something called self-pleasure. And on your website, you talk about the four principles of self-pleasure to heal your body, mm-hmm. your heart, your mind, and your spirit. Are we talking about masturbation?
Well, that's included. So in my book that I'm actually in Sedona right now finishing my book, which is very exciting for me. It's called Shake Your Soul Song, A Woman's Guide to Self-Empowerment Through the Art of Self-Pleasure. And I discuss the four principles of self-pleasure. And those are movement in the form of sacred erotic dance, meditation, self-connection, and self-stimulation. So I actually have been teaching for, since about 2008, 2009, I've actually been teaching a specific class for women to learn how to use their masturbation, their self-stimulation as a tool for personal healing, for healing sexual wounding, for healing any sort of sexual trauma, for deepening their connection to themselves, for rediscovering their body, for awakening their multi-orgasmic potential. So I teach authentic Tantra meditation, authentic Tantra breathing, and then a vulva massage and G-spot stimulation massage that we designed in our workshops. And so self-stimulation is absolutely an integral part, I believe, in reclaiming our soul empowerment as women.
It sounds beautiful. You also talk about something called sensual sovereignty. Could you define that for us?
Absolutely. What I call sensual sovereignty is having the internal freedom, the internal power to express and explore and experience our sensual sexuality, and I'll define that as well, our sensual sexuality in whatever way feels most authentic and honest and true for us. And so sensual sexuality for me combines the aspect, it combines our sexuality. Because so one of the things I share in my book is that a lot of the modeling that we have in our culture for sexuality is either very repressed or very disconnected, lacking in sensual intimacy, lacking in connection, lacking in authenticity. So we have the two extremes. Either it's, completely not expressed or it's expressed as just sort of a, gratification and a free-for-all. And to me, the healing point, the balance point, is to fully integrate our sensuality, our connection to the five senses, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. And instead of just jacking off with our masturbation or having a clitoral orgasm as quickly as possible, using our sensuality and our sexuality as a tool to experience more of ourselves, to expand our orgasmic potential and reap the incredible rewarding health benefits that result from having expanded orgasmic experiences and also just maintaining sexual arousal for long periods of time. It generates a tremendous amount of life-enriching chemistries and hormones in the body that are actually beneficial for our health and hormonal balance and anti-aging. And so, again, a lot of our sexuality, and especially masturbation for women, is geared to, we do it as quickly as we possibly can, you know, to get it over with in general. 90% of women, you know, won't even admit that they masturbate. And if they do, it's usually just for a clitoral orgasm as quickly as possible. And I say that we women are capable of at least 11 different kinds of orgasm. And because of the culture that we live in, we tend to, rely upon our partners to bring us our sexual satisfaction. And I think that is, I think that's erroneous, and I think that's a terrible demand to place on our partners. And it also keeps us in a state of disempowerment, that our sexual satisfaction lies in the hands of another person. I say if we ourselves reclaim our sensual sovereignty, if we reclaim our ability to cultivate and explore and awaken our own sexuality, we become fed inside. We become full and whole and self-empowered. And then our sexual expression is something that we share. It's not something that we are seeking our fulfillment from. We are already fulfilled and whole, and we choose to share that lovingly with another person.
So, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. Can you define for our listeners what is sustaining sexual arousal for a long time? Because, I mean, long is kind of a vague word. A lot of people might think, what is that, 5 minutes, 5 hours?
Okay, well, part of it is individual, you know. So the average time of sexual penetration, penis and vagina, is 2 to 7 minutes until the man ejaculates and that's over.
That's
and generally,
sad.
For most people, yeah, I know. That's
really
normal.
Really
it's
sad.
That's not. Yeah,
sorry.
And that's not considered premature ejaculation. That's normal. So,
wow.
And I agree. And yet, you know, and not, and I say that, and it's not to say anything bad about men. I mean, the reality is they receive no sexual education, just like we receive very little sexual education in our culture. So they simply don't know. They don't know their orgasmic capacity either, you know. So I really stress education for both men and women as far as our sexual potential. But sustaining sexual pleasure for a long period of time, well, if you think of that statistic, 2 to 7 minutes, you know, ask yourself or have your listeners ask themselves, how long do their sexual experiences usually last? And the average, including foreplay, usually about 10 to 15 minutes, and that's it. And then most people have one orgasm or not, and then it's over. So I invite you to explore and to consider what would happen if you, instead of orgasm being the goal, and instead of orgasm being a climactic event, meaning the show was over, what if we had the potential to be multi-orgasmic? What if we could have 5, 10, 20 orgasms in one lovemaking session?
Mm-hmm.
What if instead of 5 to 10 minutes, our sexual arousal, our sexual experience could last for 20 minutes, or 30 minutes, or 40 minutes, or 60 minutes, or sometimes 2 hours? So I generally recommend, you know, depending on the person, I generally recommend starting slow. You know, if you're used to being sexually stimulated and orgasming in 5 minutes, then I say, well, instead of going for that one clitoral orgasm, see if you can, you know, see if you can get in there with the G-spot and start exploring, you know, the deeper vaginal canal. See if you can spend a little extra time exploring and see if you extend your session for 15 to 20 minutes instead of 5. And then after you feel really comfortable with 20 minutes, then see if you can go a little further. See if you can push your boundaries, expand your horizons just a little bit more, gently, slowly, and lovingly. So what sustaining sexual arousal means, I think, is individual. It's individual for each person, you know, depending on where they're at in their sexual journey.
Well, and what do you think a resistance to that is? I mean, sometimes I've thought that people are resistant because it's there's like a only so much pleasure they're willing to allow themselves, and other times I thought maybe what it is that there are other feelings that come up when we're accessing our pleasure and we're accessing our expansiveness. There's other emotions that will sometimes surface, and those are not always pleasant. But what's your personal theory on this?
I would have to agree with you entirely on both those points. A, you know, we're used to contracting around pleasure, tightening up when we reach a certain level of pleasure. So one of the main things I teach is relaxing around pleasure. In order to expand, we need to relax the body. We need to breathe. We need to open. The key to multiple orgasms for both men and women is being able to relax the body and focus the mind and stay present. And the other aspect that you're saying is absolutely, pleasure is medicine. And so generally, you know, because we're accustomed, we've got this glass ceiling, so to speak, on our current sexual experience. And when we start to go beyond our glass ceiling, we start to get a little bit uncomfortable because we start to go tap into emotions that we're not accustomed to feeling. And to me, again, I coach people the same way. The key is to relax and allow, and just be willing to stay present. Just be willing to stay present with whatever arises. I mean, for me, I recently discovered that I had been sexually molested as a child during one of my self-pleasuring sessions. I'm 37. I went most of my life, you know, completely unaware that this had occurred. But the memories arose during my self-pleasuring session as the emotional trauma started to heal from my vagina. And it was incredibly uncomfortable. I really was not wanting to experience it, but I had my training, you know, and I knew what to do. And so I just relaxed and allowed the emotions to arise, allowed the sensations to arise and release from my body. And I was gifted with when those emotions released, I was gifted with a deeper, fuller, more enriching sexual pleasure, like the sensation of pleasure just like magnified by 10. And I also had a deeper level of self-awareness, self-connection, and I'd have to say self-empowerment, because I faced one of my demons. You know, I went through, I moved through and released an emotional trauma. And so I'm more whole and healthy and integrated as a human being.
And it's, I mean, that's a beautiful journey that I think would frighten a lot of people. I've made similar ones, and I have found actually that you can use self-pleasuring to release grief. Sometimes I can remember I had suffered a death in the family, was not able to grieve that all the way, and I've been continuing to cry for about 2 years. And I used a masturbation meditation to extirpate that, and it was amazing, because when I was done, I was done. I didn't need to grieve that family death anymore.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing. Pleasure is medicine, and absolutely, it catalyzes profound, deep healing so that it actually completes. And One of my theories, and I think it's more than a theory, I think the whole movement of somatic sexual healing brings this into account. And it's, you know, we as human beings store emotional trauma in the cellular tissue of our bodies. And if that trauma, that emotional trauma, has any sexual connotations, it's stored in the genital tissue specifically. And by using touch and using breath and awareness and using pleasure itself to help kind of make that emotional imprint rise to the surface, it will release naturally, just spontaneously release from the cellular tissue. And so deep-seated psychological woundings that we're not even aware that we have are healed completely from the psyche in a way that they would never be healed from talk therapy.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that it's just our sensual, sexual connection is so underutilized. And you've isolated a block to this that you have labeled the Walt Disney Syndrome.
Absolutely, yes, I have.
I'm very curious, what is the Walt Disney Syndrome?
Well, the Walt Disney Syndrome, in my opinion, is the fantasy fairy tale that we're spoon-fed from the time that we're little girls, that the handsome prince is going to ride up on his shining white horse, and he's going to give us the kiss of life, awaken us to our womanhood, and carry us away, and we're going to live happily ever after. And as a result of this, I believe that we are culturally conditioned as women from the time we're little girls to put our sexual exploration in the hands of a man. The man will show up. He will know how to touch us. He will know how to kiss us. He will know how to awaken us. And we're not supposed to tell him what we like, A, because we're not even supposed to know what we like sexually, number one, because he's supposed to teach us, and number two, we wouldn't want to bruise his ego by giving him instruction and guidance. The problem with this is that, in my opinion, it leaves both partners completely sexually in the dark and disempowered. Men, as I said, they receive very little guidance in our culture regarding how to please a woman. They have to resort to porn, and I think porn is a wonderful, wonderful tool for titillation, for arousal, for fantasy and exploration, but it is not a valid tool for sex education. The technique is faulty, and it does not give realistic and authentic instruction and sex advice. And so I think it actually does more harm than good when it's not coupled with authentic sexual education and sexual instruction. So,
boy, isn't that the truth?
This is
it really is.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, I think porn is a wonderful tool. I think couples watching porn together can be super arousing. It's an ancient thing. Porn's been around for thousands of years in different forms. But if it's our culture's main form of sex education, it's like, you know, again, the Walt Disney syndrome, movies is our main form of like recognizing what a healthy relationship is supposed to look like, which is crap, you know, like the guy meets girl, guy gets girl, then they live happily ever after. Well, that doesn't give a realistic portrayal of an authentic relationship at all. And so it leaves both partners with this illusion that we're constantly trying to live up to. And it doesn't foster authentic communication between partners during their sexuality because, like I said, we women were not supposed to know what we like because we weren't supposed to be digging around and checking things out. And the guy's just supposed to show up knowing everything, and yet he doesn't. He's confused, and he's hoping that he's doing a good job, but he's not sure. You know, so it just creates this separation between the partners and does not foster actual intimacy. Intimacy is being able to communicate to each other about your pleasure while you're experiencing that pleasure in supportive, life-enriching language. Yes, I like that. That's wonderful. Oh, thank you. Oh, right there. That's great. No, a little to the left. Just simple words. And in my work as a tantra coach and sensual empowerment coach for women, I laugh because sex is the most intimate experience that two human beings can engage in, and yet we are terrified of talking to each other while we're having sex. We'll say abusive things to each other and maybe talk dirty to each other, but just giving each other simple feedback and guidance is terrifying. And I know it was for me when I began this journey. It was one of my places of deepest wounding that's now become a really powerful place of healing for me.
Yeah, it's really amazing how many couples have a hard time talking about what they're doing with each other. They're touching each other's most intimate, private body parts, but they can't talk about it. And which is, of
they
course...
They can't talk about it. To me, that's a result of the Walt Disney syndrome. It's the idea that the prince is supposed to know, and we're supposed to put all our sexual empowerment in his hands, which is a heavy burden for a man to carry.
Yeah, well, it's an impossible one. So when you're teaching Tantra, I'm just wondering, now, you know, some of our listeners might think that Tantra is about sitting across from each other, doing a lot of heavy breathing. Other people might think that it's some kind of extended orgasm that lasts for 3 days. What exactly is Tantra? And we seem to have dropped Davey yet again. So hopefully we'll be able to get Davey back. Talking about this reticence the couples have to talk about the sex that they're having with each other. This is something I actually work with my clients in the shame-free zone all the time. It's pretty common. People are having sex and don't know how to speak about it. And it's just kind of shocking sometimes how many times couples will admit to me that, no, they've never asked each other about anything. Not, you know, do you like this? Do you prefer that? Does this work for you? So it's kind of sad, but there's ways to get past that. And the first thing we have to do, of course, is work with our shame. A lot of us are feeling shame around our body image, or shame around our sexual activity. I think sometimes when people are having sex, they're kind of doing it on remote control. It's like, well, maybe if I don't talk about it, it's not real. But the minute they start to talk about it, of course, then the fear gets in that somehow maybe they're doing something inappropriate or wrong or sinful. And you know, people start to feel shame or guilt around it and self-conscious, embarrassed. Davey, you were giving us a little idea of what kind of tantra you teach. Go ahead, take it away.
Absolutely. So the form of tantra that we teach is called authentic tantra. And it is lineage-based tantra, meaning we have instruction from an authentic Tibetan Buddhist lama. In some of the most ancient and esoteric tantric sexual teachings on the planet. And these are instructions from a 2,600-year-old lineage. They're like from 2,600 years ago that have been passed down teacher to student for the last, like I said, 2,600 years in how to use our sexuality and sexual energy to transform our consciousness and align with our true divine awareness, and also to powerfully heal and transform obstacles, emotional traumas, and emotional blocks, and to live a life where our sexuality is wholly integrated with the rest of our life. So these instructions, so, you know, I'll just share what we teach in our classes. We actually have our instruction online as well at AuthenticTantra.com. Everything we teach in our weekends, you can now learn online, instant access. And we give instruction in several different tantric breathing styles. And tantric breathing, is most people don't understand the reasoning behind doing eye gazing and breathing together and that sort of thing. And it's an actual method that we engage for a specific purpose. When two or more people breathe together at the same rate and the same pace, their heartbeats will actually synchronize. So again, we've discussed how most people, they're having sex, but they're not necessarily deeply intimately connected. So we instruct you in how to use your breath and harmonizing your breath with your partner to create a powerful, intimate, energetic connection of your mind, your heart, and literally your physiology. We also teach meditation that you use in your everyday life. So authentic tantra, real tantra, are methods that you use in and out of the bedroom. It's about weaving our sexuality into our life experience and weaving our life experience into our sexuality. So it's completely integrated. It's whole, the way we were designed to be. And the secret for tantra, which I think that many people don't know, is that the way the human body is designed, and these are according to ancient Tibetan tantric instructions, the way the human body is designed is so that every orgasm is literally a glimpse of enlightenment. We have in our bodies something called central channel, which some people, yoga people will recognize as the Sushumna Nadi. And it is an energetic core that runs through the center of the body that is the core of the life force in the body. If it breaks, we will die. And at the moment of orgasm, the moving energy in the genitals brushes that central channel, and we literally get a glimpse of enlightenment, literally. So if you think of that brief moment of orgasm and that pure bliss, it's like, you know, it's just the sweetest thing ever. if we are able to extend and expand that brief glimpse of orgasm to last for, instead of 2 seconds, to last for 10 seconds or 20 seconds or several minutes, then for that period of time, our conscious mind is literally resting in its true void nature, and we experience Buddhahood, we experience Godhood, we experience oneness with all of life. And that is the true power of our sexuality. That's what we were designed to use our sexuality for, other than procreation.
Yes, which really should be something that we rarely engage in. There's so much focus on the procreative aspects of sex, and it's really unfortunate because I think sex was meant to be about 95% other things, whether it's pleasure,
Absolutely.
Stress reduction, a way to improve our health, and most importantly, what you're talking about here is what the ancients always called the doorway to the divine.
Exactly.
And it is something that's underutilized. I think when you think about how the patriarchal culture really worked overtime to shame people around their sexuality and cut them off from access to this this enlightenment, it almost seems like it was, you know, kind of not a conspiracy, but it was definitely something that was suppressed. And to try to bring
Absolutely.
That information back so that people can start to realize that they have access to enlightenment and they have access to the divine, they have access to this higher consciousness, and it really is about these higher practices, sacred sex practices.
Exactly.
Now, you had earlier talked about how everything is sacred, and that's interesting. That's often what I say to people, too. They go, what's sacred sex? I go, sex is sacred, just like life is sacred.
Yeah.
But obviously there are certain behaviors and patterns that seem more conducive to a sacred spiritual sexual experience, and then there's certain practices and behaviors that are less likely. And, you know, you had mentioned porn, obviously. Porn seems to get people into kind of a, what I would call an addictive relationship with sex. What would you tell somebody when they're trying, you know, maybe they're questioning, okay, well, you know, I'm masturbating, but I'm not feeling enlightened. How would you help them to understand what that journey is about and how to, to distinguish between, you know, the type of sexual behavior that's perhaps just going to feed the addictive machine and the type of sexual behavior that actually would lead to enlightenment?
Well, I would encourage the person to get some education about how to create a sacred sexual practice. It's not something you can just pull out of your butt, so to speak, like, okay, I'm going to do a sacred sexual practice, but have no method, no tool. Everything in life, I can't just wake up and decide I'm going to be a gourmet chef. I would actually need to go to school and get a book and get some instruction from somebody on how to actually become a gourmet chef. So I liken sexual evolution to becoming a really good artist or a really good chef. We need education. And we're steered away from it in this culture because of the fear and the repression. So the first thing that I would do is invite the person to be educated, get some instruction, find someone that you resonate with or a style of sacred sexual practice that you feel curious about, and start exploring. And then from there, you'll learn methods for how to actually set up a sacred sexual practice. And it simply means, for me, one of the key things is simply carving out time in my schedule to self-cultivate. So I have time carved out in my schedule for yoga. I have time carved out for lifting weights. I've got time carved out for going for walks. And yet rarely do we carve out time for our sexual pleasure, our sexual exploration, other than just quickly getting off. So creating time, prioritizing and creating time in our lives to explore our sexuality is the number one step. The number two step for me is creating present, relaxed awareness with focus. So I meditate before I self-pleasure. I do my tantric breathing, my tantric visualization, my tantric meditation, and I create a sacred space in my mind that will then influence and translate to whatever physical activity I'm doing in my life. And then the other aspect is, like I said, get some education about, you know, what is beyond the clitoral orgasm. And for men, what's beyond the ejaculatory orgasm for men? Men are capable of like 8 to 10 different kinds of orgasm. But if they ejaculate, they only get one. So how do they orgasm without ejaculating? How do they experience multiple whole body orgasms? So find out how, learn. We invest in so many other things in our life, and I think it's time for us as a human race to start beginning investing in our sexual awakening and our sexual education as well. Because, you know, we invest in pills to feel better, we invest in drugs to feel better. Sex is the best medicine on the planet, and it's built, you know, it's built in to us. So we may as well start accessing the power. It's like sitting on a nuclear generator, but never, you know, never being able to access the power of it.
Really, and it's free. It's free, and it's available to you at all times.
Yes. And it feels good.
And it feels good. I mean, God forbid, we should actually enjoy our bodies and our lives while we're here. I think that's an excellent idea about scheduling time. And it is amazing, actually, how oftentimes people will put themselves and their sex life at the very bottom of their list of priorities. And I think a lot of times, again, we're back to the shame. It's like people don't feel entitled to make that a priority. But I think, you know, you make an appointment for that with yourself, just like you would, like you said, when you go to the gym. I know years ago when I decided I wanted to make the gym a priority, I started putting on my calendar like an appointment so that I could schedule clients and business appointments around that.
So. Yes, exactly. And I think the important point is, you know, for most people, I think they say that like 70% of women have never had a vaginal orgasm. So, you know, a lot of women are like, well, yeah, you know, why schedule time for my sex? It's not, you know, whatever, I can do it in 5 minutes. So for me, I'm really motivated by results. Like the only reason I keep going to the gym is because I see muscles.
So. Well, I see muscles. I see muscles in your video too. So I say your workout is working for you.
There you go. The reason, the proof is in the pudding, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, there's a couple of things I want to talk about before we close, and one of them. Obviously, I'm going to give you a chance to talk about this new DVD that you've got as well. But before we turn to that, what to say to people who might, I would think you probably encounter a couple of ideas about your background as a stripper. I would think some people think it's problematic, and other people might actually be a little too focused or enamored on it, so that maybe sometimes they don't see your whole message. But and it's possible that none of that's true for you at all. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that if in fact there are any issues around it.
You know, I don't have a lot of issues. I don't run into much resistance about it. I think because I had such a unique background. You know, I went from being a stripper in the ghetto in Detroit. It was, you know, it was not very glorious. It's not like being a stripper in Vegas. I was like, literally, there were shootouts in the bar. I mean,
yes. Wow.
Very inglorious beginning. And yet, you know, I just, to myself, I just think, wow, how beautiful, like, how beautiful that I went into the depths of hell to get this instruction. And then I had the perseverance in life to, like, then to become a monk, of all things, and then to become a tantrika and find and create this beautiful fusion of sacred sensual expression. Like, I really honor myself for my journey. And you know, definitely there I'm sure there are some people that don't know necessarily that I've been a stripper because they've never asked, you know. But it doesn't seem to be, it hasn't been a huge issue for me either way. And it may make people more enamored of me. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in people's heads, and I don't hear a whole lot of it on my end. So
Maybe that will change.
You don't know. Who knows? Well, tell us about this DVD. You actually are teaching Tantra via a DVD. Isn't that true?
Well, the DVD, I have a sacred erotic dance DVD in which I teach the five core pelvic movements. But the Tantra that we are sharing online, that's available for purchase online, is not actually a DVD. It is an online Tantra education center. So just like, again, I'll make the analogy of cooking. They now have cooking schools online where you go to the website, you pay a monthly membership, and you have access to all of their cooking instructions. Well, same thing for AuthenticTantra.com. It is high-quality HD video that you go to, and we have four courses available, Tantra Essentials, Semen Retention for Men, Mastering the Art of Male Pleasure, and G-Spot Vulva Massage. And so you can buy each of those individually, or you can buy them as a course package, and you have instant access from the moment that you buy them, the moment that you purchase them, instant access on the website. You get a membership and a login number and everything. And the instruction is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for an entire year from the date of purchase. So you have an entire year to view and review and re-access and relearn all of the instruction, which I think is amazing because we've been teaching in-person Tantra workshops for, you know, several years now, 4 years. And we've often had students come back and take the workshop again and again and again because you just can't get it in one weekend. You know, there's just so much information. So we put all of our instruction online, and then we've also created forums. So when people have questions, they can talk to me and Jock, my partner, directly. They can ask us, okay, well, I tried this thing and it didn't work. What do I do? So that we are available for guidance and coaching online or, you know, private. You can send us a private email, and you continue to get support for your education all for one no low price. So so we thought it was a pretty revolutionary idea, and we're thrilled with the product. It's a fantastic product, and like I said, you know, if people view the material and they don't quite understand something, Jacques and I are happy to answer any questions that people have, and just, you know, our motivation is really, we really want our students to learn. We want you to have an enriching, fulfilling, healthy, integrated sexual experience.
You know, I can't tell you, I interview a lot of people who are writing books and teaching classes about sexuality. And yours is, I'm just going to say, it's the most integrated program that I have heard of to date. The way that you combine the dance with the Tantra and the sacred sexual practice is just, it's beautiful. I love how you're bringing them all together. One of the things that I specialize in is trying to demystify the whore-Madonna split and reunite this good girl, bad girl, and I really feel that you're living that. That's the path that you are walking, and I really applaud you for that.
Thank you so much. Yes, and I applaud your work in healing the wound between the good girl and bad girl, because that's something I talk about as well. It creates an internal division in our psyche, and that's so damaging for our health.
It absolutely is, and it's also such a waste of our energy as women. There's so many things we could be doing together as sisters. I think if we weren't divided amongst each other and divided against ourselves, as you talk about full feminine power with self-awareness, self-connection, and self-love. I think it's beautiful. Do you have, you've got classes going on, seminars. Do you have any seminars coming up?
The big thing that I'm really excited about right now is my book that's coming out, Shake Your Soul Song, and that is due to be published and released, launched, I guess is the proper word, mid-October. So right now, if you go to my website, feminineemergence.com, you can type in .com and it'll come up. That's the URL as well. And it's one E between the feminine and emergence. You can get my 7 favorite sensual enrichment suggestions for free when you sign up, and you'll be notified of the launch, which is in about 6 weeks, which is really exciting. And then we also offer online not online, long distance Skype coaching anytime. So I have, my Skype coaching programs for women and for men. So no matter where you are in the world, we can connect, which I love Skype. And we also have in-person Tantra weekends that in Vancouver, BC, that my partner Jacques is currently doing for September and October, and then I will be back in the area in November. But if you'd like to schedule an in-person two-day Tantra weekend anywhere, you can just contact us, and we'd be happy to talk to you about, you know, how many people we would need to have it occur and how to set it up and that sort of thing. So you're welcome to sponsor a two-day Tantra weekend anywhere you like.
Anywhere we like, we can have that in. That's cool.
We'll come to you.
Well, you are just a breath of fresh air. You really are. I think one of the other things sometimes is a little bit of turn off, when, especially when I talk to people that are from a tantric lineage, is that they can get a little stuffy and kind of self-important. And I just love the down-to-earth and very accessible way that you put that information out there. It's refreshing.
Thank you. That's wonderful to hear. Yeah, humility is a wonderful quality, isn't it?
It certainly is. Okay, Davey Ward, thank you so much for joining me in the shame-free zone. It's been a lot of fun. And to our listeners, I do apologize for our many interruptions. We just apparently... the topic was too hot for the phone line, so sorry about that, but we're glad that you stayed with us till the end. And next week, I'm going to be interviewing Alan Goldhammer, and he's going to be talking about a brand new book that's out from the True North Health Center, and also he's going to be talking about the True North Health Center, and it's basically a place where people go to get detoxed. So I think it'll be an interesting show, and we'll be focusing on health, and maybe we'll get Dr. Goldhammer to talk to us a little bit about some of the shame issues that people have around food and eating. Until next Monday, this is Veronica Monet signing off for the Shame Free Zone.